God bless you, saints. This year is nearly over, and the good Lord has treated us well. So may he continue into the following years. God bless you all. We'd like to sing a song, Sister Deirdre and I. All My Tears, the song was called. Okay, Brother George.
When I go, don't cry for me. In my Father's arms I'll be. The wounds this world left on my soul will all be healed and I'll be whole. Sun and moon will be replaced with the light of Jesus' face. I will not be ashamed, for my Savior knows my name. Cause it don't matter where you bury me, I'll be home and I'll be free. It don't matter where I lay, all my tears are washed away. Gold and silver blind the eye, temporary riches lie. Come and eat from heaven's store, come and drink and thirst no more. It don't matter where you bury me, I'll be home and I'll be free. It matters where I lay, oh, my tears be washed away. So weep not for me, my friends, when my time below does end. For my life belongs to him who will rise the dead again. It don't matter where you bury me, I'll be home and I'll be free. It don't matter where I lay, oh, my tears be washed away. It don't matter where you bury me, I'll be home and I'll be free. It don't matter where I lay, all my tears are washed away. All my tears are washed away. All my tears are washed away.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, brother. Oh, thanks for the blessing of the songs. Amen. Let's sing the song, Are You Washed in the Blood? We'll sing the chorus and we'll ask Stacy and Jesse if they're ready. Amen. To bless us with a good song tonight. Amen. Let's stand as we sing. The chorus, Are You Washed? Amen.
In the blood, in the salt and blood of the Lamb, are Your diamonds, but there's other white, there is no Are You Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, are You washed? Are You washed? Oh, in the blood, oh, in the soul, and the blood of the Lamb. Oh, are You coming? Spotless, are You white? Yes, oh, are You washed in the blood of the Lamb?
times we pray, Father, let this cup pass from me. But we want to cry out just once more, Lord, on bending knees. We sing just one touch of the hem of his garment had brought change and for deliverance. So casting our fear, this power of prayer, only believe. Only believe. Let nothing stand in your way. Issues of love, troubles and confusion. My rock, my light and salvation.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
God bless our young sisters. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing the song as we ask Brother Maxwell if you bless us with a good song tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing that chorus. Know ye not, you are a temple. Amen.
Know ye not, you are a temple. Know ye not, you are a temple. A temple of the Holy Ghost. Know ye not, know ye not, you are a temple. Oh, know ye not, you are a temple. Know ye not, you are a temple. You are a temple of the Holy Ghost. Yes, I know, yes, I know, yes, I know, I am a temple. Yes, I know, yes, I know, I am a temple. Yes, I know, yes, I know, I am a temple. I am a temple of the Holy. Full of praise, full of power, full of glory. Full of praise, full of power, full of glory.
Full of
praise, full of power, full of glory. I am a temple of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. It is Christmas.
Amen.
And I was looking into our messages, messages that the prophet preached during Christmas days. And one of them, he visited Brother Graham Church. And I just want to read something because the prophet said something which I was doing. But now, thank God, the Lord has really taken those things away from my life. Amen. So, I want to just read a little quote from here, from the deity of Jesus Christ. It was preached on 1949, on the 25th of December. After the songs, when they handed over to the prophet, he said, "Brother Graham, thank you. Good morning, everyone, and Merry Christmas to all of you. We are happy to be back again this morning here at the Tabernacle to be with this lovely little group. Brother Graham and I were just discussing in there a matter, and he said, 'Brother Bill, you got anything on your heart this morning?' I said, 'Jesus Christ.'" Amen. Amen. "Have you got anything on your heart this morning?" He said, "Jesus Christ." Oh, praise the Lord. And then he himself said, "Amen." He said, "That's all. We always have that. And so that's in common to us that we have him." Amen. And then he said something here also. He said, "People around here saying that they are Christ. Their church is of Christ, they go to. And what happened? They opened their Christmas presents. Let's see about Daddy." That's me. Praise the Lord. What I was doing. So let's see about Daddy. There, under the Christmas tree, a set of box of beer somewhere. Amen. No room for Jesus. All for beer. Actually, I like Guinness. So during Christmas, those days before, Christ touched me. Under my Christmas tree, you get nothing but what? Boxes of Guinness. And he said, there is no room for what Christ. Praise the Lord. And I thank the Lord that there has been a great change in my life. So I want us all, the church together with me, we sing great change. Amen. Great change since I was born. Great change since I was born. Great change since I was born. There's a great change since I was born. Great change, great change. Listen, and clap your hands. Oh, great change since I was born. Great change since I was born. There's a great change since I was born. The things I used to do, the things I used to do, I do them no more. The things I used to do, I do them no more. The things I used to do, I do them no more. There's a great change since I, great change, oh, since I was born. Oh, great change, oh, since I was born. Great change, since I was born. There's a great change since I was born. Oh, the drink I used to drink, I drink them no more. The Guinness I used to drink, oh, I do them no more. The things I used to do, I do them no more. There's a great change since I was. Great change, great change since I was born. Oh, great change, oh, since I was born. Great change, oh, since I was born. There's a great change since I was born.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yes, amen. Amen, hallelujah. Oh, that's the truth, amen. That's been a great change, amen, hallelujah. I will thank the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's sing that song. Fill My Way With Love, amen. Amen. And we'll ask Brother Wilmore if you prepare to bless us tonight, amen. Amen. Fill my way.
The Lord lead the way that was gone, leading straight to the land.
That's not amen.
No, even here, everywhere. And the Lord fill my way every day with. Oh, fill my way every day with. By Thy word with the heavenly. Oh, let me grow all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Oh, get me close to the sight of my Savior and guide. Let me never in darkness roam. Keep my heart free from wrong, my soul satisfied. Fill my way every day with. Oh, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly God. Oh, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with. Oh, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly. Oh yes, Lord, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with. Oh, fill my way every day with life. As I walk with the heavenly, oh, let me go, let me go. All the while with a song and a smile, fill my way every day with love.
God bless you, saints. I don't know why you put us at the end. Makes me very nervous, but we praise the Lord anyhow.
It's not the end.
Yeah, there's one more. Great. If you would want to sing with us, it's a song we normally sing, Precious Memories. Amen.
Precious memories, unseen angels, sent from somewhere to my soul.
Sad night.
God bless you, brother. And God bless you, sisters. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, that was a blessed song. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song. Victory is mine as we access our angel. If you can prepare for a song as well. Amen. To bless us tonight. How many are blessed tonight? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's stand as we sing Victory is mine. Amen.
Oh, victory is mine. Oh, victory today is mine. Oh, I don't say time can be behind me. Oh, victory today. Oh, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Oh, victory is mine. Oh, victory today is mine. Oh, why don't Satan get there behind me? Oh, victory today. Oh, joy is mine, joy is mine. Oh, joy is mine. Oh, joy today is mine. Oh, why does Satan get deep behind me? Oh, joy today is mine.
God bless you, saints. While the world looks upon me as I struggle alone, to say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart, I'm rejoicing, though the world may not see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me, a good place to sleep. There's food on my table, shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
And though I am worthy, these clothes, they are new. I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you. And that's all that matters, though the world may not see.
Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a room up above me, a good place to sleep. There's food on my table, shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. A roof up above me, a good place to sleep. There's food on my table, shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
And we thank you, Lord, for your blessings
on
us. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank the Lord Jesus for his blessing on us. Amen. Hallelujah. That's a wonderful song tonight. Amen. Oh, you're really blessed tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song. When we all get to heaven. Amen. Let's stand as we sing this song and we ask. We have two more songs to be sung tonight. Amen. We ask Brother George to bless us with a song. And then for last one, we have our precious sister Elsie. Elsie. And she'll bless us to close everything tonight. Amen. Amen. So let's sing When We All Get to Heaven. Amen.
Oh, Jesus,
let's start, amen.
In the mansion, bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place when we all get to heaven. Oh, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Oh, when we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Oh, when we walk the pilgrim path, God's will spread the sky. God, when drowning days are over, come. Oh, when we oh, when we oh, when we oh, oh, when we oh, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Oh, when we oh, see Jesus will sing and shout the victory. Oh, when we oh, when we oh, oh, get to oh, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Oh, when we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout a victory.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm going to sing one song. I'd like to apologize first to the Lord, because sometimes you could... I think maybe if you had the right environment, you could have written like hundreds and hundreds of songs. But the problem, like the pastor always says, when you do this, you're very sensitive. If anything knocks you off, you just leave everything and you're just gone. But so that, it delays. Like the last song we sang the other day, it's a song, it just came overnight. I was just sitting in practice, yeah. We're practicing here and the song just came. And it just came like that. But what you find is when you're writing songs, you live a very sensitive life. You see, so it's almost like you'd want to be locked away. Because if anything goes wrong, you just get completely put off. So you find many times, it's like I always say the Lord gives me songs in dreams many times, and I've written those songs. I thank God for that. But there's like, if the saints can pray for me, you know, there's maybe 50 songs that I've dreamt of that I've never finished off. I mean, I've worked on a few of them. I get the words and I take them from the message, you know. And if you can really pray for me in that way, that the Lord, I don't know, because I like what they say, is they say music is born in harmony. It's like if we had musicians and we're all one and we were working together, you find the songs would just come like that. And you find other people will be inspired as well. That's my prayer, that's my vision for us in music, you know. And that's the only thing I know. I don't know, I don't preach or anything. But I'd like to just sing this song. I've sung it before, but you can never get comfortable or used to it. It's just, I took it from that countdown, the prophet's message. My aim is for you to understand what I'm saying. I don't want to make a noise. I just want you to understand what I'm saying. So listen as close as you can. Spiritual astronauts, you have the power. Dynamics now abide in the control tower. God's church in position, she's ready for orders. The Holy Ghost bids us, we at the end. People lost in sin and shame all dying. Once more he cries, who will I say? Oh, it's the countdown, it's the countdown. Thus saith the Lord, we at the end. Are you ready for a sudden departure of the bride? Oh, 1 through 7, keep pressing on. A channel where demon powers are screaming, pressing through the hearts of man and self-will. We have the blood applied, are resisting. This battle at a higher level continues to. Are we spiritual astronauts, is in a fire, searching for the lost, you shining stars? Oh, it's the countdown, it's the countdown. Thus saith the Lord, we at the end. Are you ready for a sudden departure of the bride? Oh, 1 through 7, keep pressing on. Science looks back for its achievement, Brother Paul, to see what God has done in his creation, perverting it from its original estate. The natural man, now he's on shaky ground. Are we spiritual astronauts? Spiritual man always looks forward, onward gazing into God's word. Oh, it's a countdown, it's a countdown. Thus saith the Lord, we at the end. Are you ready for a sudden departure of the bride? Oh, 1 through 7, keep pressing on. Wesley, one of God's great scientists, Luther strove, casting away blindness. Against the church they were faithful servants. Luther cried, the just shall live by faith. Chemically putting the word of God in its place, Wesley proved by blood we sanctified. Oh, it's a countdown, it's a countdown. Thus said the Lord, we at the end. Are you ready for a sudden departure of the bride? Oh, 1 through 7, keep pressing on. Now the Wright brothers put man in the air. Pentecost went higher beyond earthly sphere. Now the church can climb higher than ever, beyond creeds, doubts, and all our fears. The deep in man, how it just propels out. All things are possible, you just believe. Oh, it's a countdown, it's a countdown. Thus saith the Lord, be at the end. Are you ready for a sudden departure of the bride? Oh, 1 through 7, keep pressing on. Natural man has something to control him. The radar moves him around to show him where he's at. The spiritual aspect has a power deep within. It's the Holy Ghost, the dynamics that's driving him. The seven church ages has already counted out. Jesus calls his bride out with a shout. Oh, it's a countdown, it's a countdown. Thus saith the Lord, be at the end. Are you ready for a sudden departure of the bride? Oh, 1 through 7, keep pressing on. 1 through 7, keep pressing on.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand. We'll sing that chorus. I feel like traveling on, and we'll ask Elsie to bless us with a good song tonight. Amen. We'll just sing the chorus. I feel like traveling on. Amen.
I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling
traveling on. Oh, yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Oh, I feel like traveling on. I feel like oh, my heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on.
Amen.
Searching my love deep on himself, desiring a closer word with Jesus Christ, going on my knees and touring was my heart, uttering this verse of him, Lord, I want to die. So here I stand with this desire, Lord, I want to die. Lord, I want to die. Take away this old nature and die. I am passenger available, and I want the keys to have access. I want to do the great of us. I'm living the image of Christ. All these promises were made for me, but first I need to die.
Amen.
I'm determined to fight with armor chit and match, and this fear in the waves. You should be his death. It's general waves that needs to eternal love. So do prayer and supplication. Lord, I know your victories are love. Lord, I need to die. Take away this old matron death. All your presents are available, and I want the keys to have victors. I want to do the greater worst. I'm living the image of rest. All these promises were made for me, but first I need to die. Lord, I need to die. Take away this old matron that all your blessings are available, and I want the keys to have access. I want to do the greater works and live in the image of Christ. All these promises were made for me, but first I need to die. Perturbate this light. All these promises were made for me, but first I need to die. Your Holy Gospel, Lord. All these promises were made for me.
Amen. First I need Amen. Hallelujah.
To die. And I'll be just like right.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Let's thank us. We worship him tonight. Amen. Let's sing this song. I'll be listening. How many will be listening to him tonight? Amen. When the Savior calls, amen.
The Savior calls, I will answer when he calls for me.
Savior call, I will answer. I'll be some worthless man for my end. Oh, I'll be somewhere. I'll be somewhereless man. I'll be. Oh, I'll be somewhereless man. I'll be. Oh, this man for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere. This man, I'll be somewhere. This man, I'll be. Oh, this man for my name. If my heart is right, if my heart is right. When he calls me, if my heart is right, I will hear. If my heart is right, when he calls, oh, I'll be somewhere listening for my. Oh, I'll be somewhere, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be, oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be, oh, listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be. Oh, listening for my name. If my robe is white, if my robe is white, when he calls me, if my robe is white, I will hear. If my robe is white, when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere. Oh, listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name.
Let's bow heads. Father, thank you for this night, Lord. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Father, that we heard your voice. Thank you, Father, that you called us by name. And thank you, Father, that you've gathered us together even upon this night, Lord. Father, so much wanted to thank you, Lord. Father, for each of your children that have come upon this night to present their gifts unto thee. Father, to bring their gifts, Lord, and their talents into your presence. Father, to come to do homage unto thee. Father, to glorify thee, Lord, even in this season, Lord, that the world would get it wrong in its date. But Father, we remember that Christ was born. And Father, we've come upon this night to appreciate you, Lord. May you bless each, Lord, person, right from the youngest to the oldest, Lord, that has contributed, Lord. Father, we do appreciate every song that has been sung. We appreciate everything, Lord, that gives you the glory, Lord. May you draw nigh unto us, Lord, as you open up your word and lead us and guide us. Father, praying for your people that wouldn't be here upon this night, Father, in different places. Our sister who's traveled, be with her, be her comforted, be her guide, we ask and pray. And Father, them that are at work in different places in this season, I dedicate them up unto thee. But Father, we've come in this house, Lord, upon this evening. For Lord, we want to fellowship with you, Lord. We just want to worship you, Lord. We just pray that you'd minister your grace and mercy, Lord. Father, through your word, just to give us an entrance, Father, just closer upon this night. That Father, as we'd come to the end of the service, we'd say it was good to be in his house. It was good to worship the King upon this night. Bless your people. Bless your word. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints. God bless you this evening. It's good to gather on a Christmas Eve when the world is gathering and people are drinking and people are doing all manners of things and they're taking their children and influencing them that kind of a way. how wonderful it is to see the influence upon children who have been brought up by parents who have been brought up by the Lord. It's a wonderful thing. We do appreciate seeing that. That is really the grace of God in this generation. Truly it is. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. Let's read the first 12 verses. Just our good familiar Christmas story. Matthew chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. Now there's really something about these wise men that I really find so wonderful. There's just something, you know, where they came from, how they just come from somewhere and they just go back into somewhere. But the influence of their testimony, of their offering, and of what they testified, the Lord's recorded in his word. There's something about it which is a powerful, powerful testimony. And you find at this time when Jesus was born, the way the Lord deals with people, you know, Jesus says, "No man can come unto me except my Father draws him first." But the way the Lord dealt with people at this time is really interesting. He deals with the wise men through the stars. Now he speaks to them through the heavens. That's the way that he dealt with them and brought them to Christ. He speaks to the shepherds through an angel. He speaks to Joseph through a dream. You know, there were various ways that God was dealing with his people, because God knows how to deal with us as individuals. He knows exactly what we will respond to. He knows exactly how to bring us to himself. But God, like we said, that is the God of variety. And you see, even in these gifts that the wise men brought, they brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. Each one brought a separate gift. And each of those gifts testified something of the mission, the purpose, the commission of Christ. And only when you take all three of the gifts together do you get a full picture of who Christ really was and what he was sent to do. So we all have various gifts, diversities of gifts, diversities of callings. We all can come and present different things before the king. But friends, let's never dismiss another man's gift. Let's never dismiss another man's offering, because to make a complete picture, these wise men, when the three planets united in the heavens to form that great star, naturally speaking, and then the supernatural led them to where Christ was, they came, united themselves together, and when they united their gifts together, they offered something that perfectly testified of Christ in their day. It was a perfect witness of Christ. And that is the power of unity. And the prophet says it in uniting time and sign. He says, when the heavens were uniting, there were three men who united under the program of God. And once they united, they gave now a true witness, a true testimony of Christ in the age, of who he was and what he was sent to do. And it's a powerful testimony that they gave, the testimony of these magi. And the thing I like about these wise men is that when the Lord visited them, he brought them out of Babylon. That revelation of that supernatural, when he revealed what he was doing in that day, it brought them right away from Babylon and it brought them to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem now, the house of God's bread, and they came into the presence of Christ. That's when now these offerings, something happened, and they offered these offerings which bore witness that indeed these men had tasted the supernatural. This wasn't something natural. They weren't just natural men following natural stars, but something supernatural had happened to them, because when they came with their gifts, they came and testified exactly of vindicated prophecy in their day. That is what the gifts testified of, that prophecy was being fulfilled in their day. And they were witnesses. They were a testimony of that. And they testified that the word had been made flesh. Amen. That's what they were testifying. They were testifying of the message of the hour. Because the word made flesh is always the message of the hour. So these men had a powerful testimony. You know, so I really like sometimes to go back at Christmas time and look at, like, I think Brother Will was saying, whoever was saying it, or Brother Max was saying about, you know, the prophet's Christmas messages. I just love at this time of the year to go back and listen to them again, God's wrapped gift. You know, we have seen his star and we've come to worship him, why it had to be shepherds. But the one that I was just getting into, which I thought we'll take today, is God's gifts always find their places. It's also called appropriate gifts. And there's something about gifts. You know, it's a wonderful thing when you start really getting into the issue of gifts. Because God vindicates himself by gifts. God works through these kind of gifts. And these magi, we know, they had appropriate gifts. They had the right gifts for the season. They were born at a certain time to present certain gifts at a certain place in time. And by doing that, they perfectly fulfilled the will of God in their lives. All that they had and all they'd been trained to do and all that went on before was just leading them to this great climax, which you read in Matthew chapter 2. This was the fullness of their purpose, was when they managed to break into a certain channel of revelation, a supernatural channel, which ushered them to right where Christ was. And then when they came into his presence to worship him, they presented to him gifts that perfectly identified who he was in that day. That's a powerful thing to think about, friends, what these magi did coming from down there in Babylon. But that is what God desired for them, and that's what God desires for us as well. He wants to separate us from Babylon, from the confusion of this world. He wants to lead us by the supernatural, by revelation, by his guide. He wants to guide us like he guided them and bring us right to the place that we can worship in his presence. And when we come to worship in his presence, that's when we take the things that he's ministered unto us. They opened of their treasures, that which was what God had given them as their talents and their portion in life. And they took those things now and they presented them to the Lord. And those things now were a pleasing offering before the Lord, because those things witnessed perfectly of Christ. So God has his word, a portion of his word allotted to every age. You know, so in every age, God is doing something. At every season, every junction in time, God is doing something. And if you want to serve and worship God, you've got to enter into that channel yourself of what he's doing, so that you can present your gift, something which testifies of him, something that will minister as a witness to other people that indeed you've been visited by the supernatural. Because the prophet says, what they offered, what you offered speaks a lot louder than what you say. You know, what you give and what you are, what they presented bore witness. It was a testimony of who these wise men really were. It was a testimony that they were genuine by the things they came and they presented to the Lord. And the Lord ordained them. It's like a great symphony. He ordained for them to play a specific part, to come onto the stage of life, the stage of prophetic time, at a real precious junction in time, just when Christ was born. And friends, think about it. He ordained them to such a precious role at such a precious time. How about us? How about us in this great junction of time that we've been called to be a witness and to testify of as well? So it was a uniting time. They had gifts, they had a testimony, and they left an imprint and a mark. And on that great day, they're going to stand as a witness against that generation, because God sent them forth as a testimony into the midst of darkness, when the Roman power was uniting together with the religious powers, when the Sadducees and the Pharisees were uniting together, like the World Council of Churches now, and uniting together with Rome, the Roman power, exactly what's happening in our day. And politics was all coming together and it was all going to come against the word. But no matter how dark it gets, the Lord always has a witness. It doesn't matter the season. It doesn't matter the junction. God is always going to have certain people that he can put his hand on at certain junctions in time. And they're going to just step on the scene. And you're going to wonder sometimes where they came from and where they go. But they're just going to step in at those crucial moments to present appropriate gifts. They're going to come and bring forth a testimony, bring forth a witness, and present something that's going to testify to the world the mission and the purpose of Christ. And the prophet says that in God's gifts always find their places. He says now, how fitting these gifts were for Christ's journey on earth. These gifts the wise men brought him, they fitted just exactly his commission from God and his journey on earth. So imagine that you come and offer something to the Lord which witnesses his commission and witnesses his journey on earth. Well, friends, these are timely gifts. These were appropriate gifts offered at an appropriate time that witness now that of his commission and his life's journey. And he says, what was the first thing that they offered? They offered gold. And gold speaks of his deity. Now that was the first thing that really testified that these men had tasted of the supernatural. Is that when they came, the first thing that they offered to this young child, they offered gold. Gold always speaking of deity. The prophet says, they had a revelation of his supreme deity. The supreme deity of Jesus Christ. He says you can't get to first base without that. But they came and their gifts testified that they knew who this child was. They knew that this was deity that they were offering to. They had a witness and a revelation of deity in their day. They knew where to find him and they knew what to present when they came into his presence. And wouldn't you want to be one of those kinds of people at this Christmas time? You know, that you recognize deity in your age. And you come into his presence. He ministers an entrance into his presence. And he's already given you the gifts. They already had the gold and frankincense and myrrh. Maybe they had it in their houses for some time. They had those things in their possession, maybe for quite a season. But there came a certain time now. They moved into a certain channel they'd never been in before. They moved into a certain anointed place that God ministered them to. And all of a sudden, they started to see all things new. And they moved in this channel for quite a space of time through difficulties and hardships on a long journey until they came to the place where God had ordained them to be. And that was now the climax of moving in that place that they were moving. And they took those gifts which they had before, just natural things. Many other wise men had gold and frankincense and myrrh. But these people were moving in a certain spiritual place. And they offered them at a certain place, at a certain time, exactly the junction and the season that they were ordained to offer them. And they became a witness of his commission and his life's journey. That was a real witness which they gave forth. The prophet says they were bearing witness with the gold that he was God manifested in the flesh. That to other people he was a reproach. To other people his father was a Samaritan and all the evil things that they said. But to these wise men, the revelation allowed them to break beyond the veil. The revelation equipped them to bear his reproach in their day. Just like now what people say about the message. No, but there's a certain people on earth that have tasted of the supernatural. That there's an entrance been ministered to them into a certain spiritual place. And though the rest of the world may say this, that, and the other, but we know what we believed. Amen. We know who it is that we've believed in. And that's exactly how these wise men, they had such a reality of a revelation of who he was. It doesn't matter what the rest of the people said. To them, this was God manifest in the flesh. The prophet says they testified that he was the creator in his creation, by his creation, for his creation. That's what they were testifying when they brought this gold to this young child. To say this is God in his creation, by his creation. He created himself a body to dwell in for his creation. That there was a purpose that he stepped down into his creation. And the prophet says that's what that gold was signifying. It was signifying the revelation that these people had of who this Jesus really was. That he was God in his creation, by his creation, for his creation. He had stepped down. The Word had become flesh in their age. And they had an opportunity to come into the presence of the Logos made flesh. Friends, and come and present from their treasures something that should bear witness and testimony of Christ in the age. And God put it in His Word and put an amen stamp on it and says, these men really pleased me in their day. And wouldn't you desire to have that kind of testimony as well? That maybe you haven't got yet, maybe I haven't got to the fullness yet, but wouldn't you desire in the new year, by the grace of God, that He'll minister us deeper into that channel? That with the gifts and the talents and what is given unto us, that we may offer even a greater portion of appropriate gifts in the year that lays before. That our gifts may better bear witness and testimony of His commission in our age, of His purpose in our age. I'm sure that's the heart's desire of every believer. Every single one of us would desire that in our age. So the prophet says that's what the gold was speaking of. And he says when they came with that gold, it was a proof by what they offered that they weren't just following something natural. Because nobody else was coming and doing what they were doing. Nobody else was coming to offer this kind of a service and this kind of a ministry in that age. It was a proof that God had opened a certain place to them and they were working, walking in a supernatural place. They were walking in harmony with God. They were walking in harmony with His purpose. And friends, that's the heart's desire of all believers. You know that song that Ulrich Andrews wrote? He says, there's a burning desire in me to be more like Thee. He says, it's growing stronger every day. He says, I'm burdened in my soul. Perfection is my goal. To walk with You in perfect harmony. That's what perfection is, friends. And these men were walking and being ministered by God to a place of perfection, of maturity. They were walking in harmony with God in their day. And that was testified to and proven by what they presented to Him when they came to Him at the end of their journey and stepped into His presence. They came and they presented gold, speaking of His deity. Then the prophet says, the next thing which they offered, he says, was frankincense. Now, sometimes we just take it, but the prophet says, if you take the messages, you know what it's like. The prophet sometimes, he can just say in one paragraph a lot of things. And if you're not careful, you can quite easily just pass that paragraph by. But sometimes if you just stop on a certain paragraphs and say, you know, the prophet's saying a lot of things in this paragraph, and get your Bible and go and study it out, you'll find that the prophet could say a lot of spiritual truth in a very simple way, condensed just in a few sentences. And he speaks of this frankincense, and he says, they offered frankincense. He says, frankincense is the offering of service to Jehovah. He says, now if you want to put the scriptures down, he says, Leviticus 2 verse 2. Now whenever the prophet says that, I'm going to go and read what he says. So let's read Leviticus 2 verse 2. This is what these gifts were testifying of. This frankincense, when they came and offered it, somehow these wise men had a revelation of what frankincense really was and why frankincense needed to be offered to this child. Leviticus 2 verse 2. If you could put it for us there, sister, if you could. Thank you very much. Leviticus 2 is speaking of the meal offering. And verse 2 says, and he shall bring it, this is bringing the meal offering, to Aaron's sons, the priests. And he shall take thereout his handful of the flour thereof, and of the oil thereof, with all the frankincense thereof. So when you would bring your meal offering, now let's remember, the meal offering was not a sin offering. It wasn't a bloody offering. It was a free will offering. It was a thanks offering. It was a, you coming to the Lord to bring something voluntarily to say, Lord, thank You for this which You've done for me. Thank You for the provision that You've made for me inside of my life. And you'd bring that meal, whatever it was, and you'd bring it to the priest. And the priest would mix it with oil and he'd mix it with frankincense. And then it says, with all the frankincense, and the priest shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar to be an offering made by fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord. So somehow these magi knew, this child, he's in service to be an offering. And he's going to be a free will offering. It's not going to be anybody that's going to force him to do what he does. But the frankincense in this instance speaks of a free will offering. And when it was made the right way, when there was oil, which was the Spirit, And when there was frankincense, which speaks of pleasing divine service. Service which comes up before the Lord as a pleasing sacrifice. And they would take that meal, what you're offering, they'd take the oil, take the frankincense, take a portion, burn it on the altar. And the Bible says it would be an offering made of fire, a sweet savor unto the Lord. And friends, that speaks of the life of Christ. That his life, every step of his journey was a sweet savor unto the Lord. That's why you would say, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Right from his baptism, Mount Transfiguration, at the end of his ministry, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him, my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. But you can really see from that, that the life, the prophet says, the gifts testified of Christ's life journey and his commission. And you can see that his life's journey, his commission was, he was to be an offering. He was going to offer himself voluntarily. He was the meal offering in its fullness. And the frankincense being mixed together in the offering, it would come up before the Lord as a sweet-smelling sacrifice. It was something that was pleasing before the Lord. So somehow these magi, they knew that. They knew that this child is born for the service of Jehovah. He is the real meal offering. And his life, the frankincense shows, we know that his life is going to be a pleasing savor before the Lord. My friends, wouldn't you like to live some kind of a life? Like Cornelius, that a memorial will come up before the Lord. Your prayers and alms would come up before the Lord as a memorial. And God would look down upon you and say, in this year, I'm going to minister to a higher spiritual height. I'm going to visit you. I'm going to visit your house. I'm going to minister to a place that you've never been before, because your offering that you've made now has come up before me as a sweet-smelling sacrifice, as a memorial. And that was a free will offering that Cornelius made. It wasn't offering for his sin. It was his prayers and his alms, his service before the Lord. But there was frankincense in it somehow. There was frankincense in the life of that man, and it came up before the Lord. It was pleasing to the Lord until he sent his angel to speak to the man. Then he sent the angel to speak to Peter. And then he brought them together. And God ministered them into a new place spiritually. Cornelius and his household. Because it came up before the Lord as a sweet-smelling savor. Wouldn't you desire that in the new year? That would be your desire to say, Lord, in this year that lays ahead, I just want to get rid of all the leaven. I don't want any leaven in my offering. I don't want any leaven in my home. I don't want any leaven to influence me in the wrong way. But Lord, I want frankincense. I want to offer an offering to you that's pleasing. I want to offer a free will offering that comes up before you. In a measure, as a witness of the great free will offering that Christ made for us. So the prophet says that. He says, if you want to put the scriptures down, he says Leviticus 2 verse 2. Then he says in Leviticus 16 from verse 6. Now we won't read this one much, but if you can just put it for us, sister. Leviticus 16 speaks of the Day of Atonement now. So this is another kind of an offering that Christ is going to be. His life is going to be a pleasing offering before the Lord. He's the meal offering. He's going to willingly present himself with frankincense each day of his life as a sweet savor before the Lord. But now when you get to Leviticus 16:16, it's the Day of Atonement. It's the offering of blood now. It's the taking. Let's read it. Leviticus 16 verse 6. In fact, let's read it just from 12. It says, and he shall, Leviticus 16, 12, and he shall take a censer, this is the high priest, full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, that's frankincense, and bring it within the veil. So they would take the bullock, speaking of Christ. It wasn't an old ox. It was a bullock. Speaking of, he died in the fullness of his strength. They would take a young bull, a bullock, and they'd offer it, showing that he died while he yet had his vigor in him. He didn't die of old age. He offered himself in his prime. So you're taking a bullock, something in its prime, which you're going to offer as a sacrifice to the Lord. Then you would sacrifice the bullock, take the blood. And now it would move to the realm of the high priest. And the high priest was the only one who was entitled to take that frankincense within the veil. So, the frankincense also speaks of Christ being the high priest. Because only the high priest could take the frankincense within the veil. And it says there, it says he'll take it, he brings it within the veil. If you go to verse 13. Next verse, says, sister, if you can. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony that he died not. That speaks of the intercession of Christ before the mercy seat, because incense speaks of prayer as well. So it speaks of the high priest coming within the veil. He's bringing incense. He's putting it on the censer. It comes up now before the mercy seat, and he who dwells between the cherubim. This is the Day of Atonement. He's to forgive the sins of the entire congregation. But one man's going to come within the veil to make an offering on behalf of the rest of the people. So this is speaking of the ministry of Christ. That there's one who went within the veil. There's one who was the bullock who was sacrificed for us. And he's also the high priest Christ. Paul tells us he went within the veil in the most holy, not without blood, but he went with his own blood. Amen. And look what he did with that blood. If you continue to verse 14. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward, and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger seven times. The prophecies of seven church ages. This is Christ making a perfect atonement on behalf of every single one of his children and every one of the seven church ages. The sevenfold offering of blood on behalf of his children. Friends, this is speaking of the ministry of Christ. No one else could fulfill this ministry. And somehow those magi from Babylon, they break into a certain realm that they start to understand the ministry of this child. That this child is going to be the high priest whose intercession is going to cover the mercy seat. This child also is going to grow up. And in his prime as a young bullock, he's going to shed his blood voluntarily as a sin offering for the rest of his people. And that blood is going to bring forth redemption through the seven church ages. Friends, it's a powerful thing that these people are catching a revelation of. And that is what revelation is. When you get into a certain channel, it just opens itself out. It just opens itself more and more. The more that you walk in harmony with Him and keep yourself when that channel is opening to you, it's unlimited how far the revelation can go. And I would long for that as we get into the new year. May the Lord minister an entrance into us to a higher place, into a deeper revelation of His commission and His life's journey. Because Christ is still moving, friends. But now it's Christ in bride form. Now we don't minister directly to Him in a sense, but now we minister to Him and His people. And friends, every single one of us, if we can move into the right channel, that as we move into the new year, we can bring forth from our treasures and come and offer before Christ and His people, minister to His people in some way, something which will come up with frankincense, a pleasing offering before the Lord. So it's a twofold offering. The prophet, it's amazing how he just picks those two scriptures, Leviticus 2, Leviticus 16, which is one is a bloodless offering, is a free will offering. The other one is the Day of Atonement. And both of them, they were not acceptable without the frankincense. And the frankincense being mixed together with the sacrifice or being mixed together with the offering made it something that was acceptable before the Lord. That was something which the priesthood had to offer. And friends, He's made us a kingdom of priests. We too can offer that frankincense. Because when Christ died, in those days the high priest had to go within the veil, but now the veil's been rent. That transaction was done between the lamb and the dove. It was veiled in darkness when Christ died. The high priest had to go and make this offering, sprinkle the blood. The rest of the people couldn't see what was going on. They were the other side of the veil. The people were outside waiting to... And if that high priest came out from within the veil, they knew that an entire congregation had been accepted before Jehovah. Because that offering on the Day of Atonement was for the sins of the people for the entire year. And that's what it was when Christ was sealed in that tomb. If he had stayed in the tomb, we, his people, would have been waiting to say, but are we accepted before the Lord? But when that seal was broken on Easter morning, and he resurrected from the dead. It was a witness just as much as when the high priest came from within the veil. It was a witness to the people that the offering has been accepted on your behalf. that this was pleasing before the Lord, that the sprinkling of the blood of the atonement has achieved its purpose. And friends, that is the believer's hope. Is this an offering that's already been accepted? And our confession is in Him. Our hope and our expectation is in Him. The prophet goes on to say, this is spoken of in the seals. He says, when we read the seals, he says, there was no man worthy even to look upon the book. But then stepped forward the bloody Lamb. And He was the only one who could offer that service. He was the only one that was accepted before the Lord to offer that service. And when He offered the service, then you found all that were in heaven and all that were in the earth and under the earth fell down and started to worship Him and said, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. For He has made us a kingdom and priests, that He has redeemed us. Now, so that is what that frankincense is speaking of. It's speaking of His service. The prophet goes on to say, that's the order of the priesthood, to make an offering to Jehovah. When He made the offering, it had to be made and mixed with frankincense for a sin offering. They took different things and mixed it. For a meal offering, for the wave offering, frankincense was added because it was accepted to God if it was anointed with frankincense, which means it's service to Jehovah God. Now, we find out His deity, then they brought frankincense, a type that He was in service to Jehovah. Jesus is Jehovah's servant. He is the servant in which Jehovah is well pleased. He is the one who never did anything which displeased Jehovah. And friends, that's the testimony. That's the one that we rejoice, that we rest in when we're represented by Him. Because He's the one that's made this offering. And somehow those magi, that's amazing how they could break into that kind of a thing. And when they were bringing this incense now, this frankincense, right into the presence of Christ, right at that junction and that season in time, it was an appropriate gift. It was testifying of His priesthood. It was testifying of the perfect acceptance of Jehovah, of everything which His servant was going to do. As a free will offering and as a sin offering, Christ, He was accepted before the Lord. The prophet then goes on and he speaks a little bit more about different things with frankincense, but you don't have to take very much of it. But he says, it's just speaking about God in Christ, His servant sent to die. That's what it is. Then he says about the myrrh. He says myrrh was the anointing unto death. That's what myrrh was for. It was an anointing on the dead to take away the smell of death. There was something about myrrh which was used in that kind of a realm. And he says, then the prophet, once again, he picks up a scripture and he says, you find it in St. John, the 19th chapter and the 39th verse. He says, they took this myrrh to anoint Him with. Now that's an interesting thing. If you can put it for us there, please, sister. John 19, 39. Look at the context of this myrrh. I find that was quite a thing. Is that God, in every junction, every season, He's going to have people when He needs people to step in on His behalf. If you go to 38, if you wouldn't mind, sister, just start in the verse before that. This is when, let's just think of the setting. Christ has been crucified. He's just died on the cross. Imagine that precious body, yeah? That virgin-born body. Now what the Romans did with the victims of the crucified, they normally left them on the cross just to rot on the cross as a witness. The Jews didn't want that the Sabbath was coming forth. So normally the Romans would go and take those bodies and dispose of their bodies. And the disciples, imagine it was a time of need. The scripture says that His body would be buried with the rich in His death. Somebody needed now. Here was His body on the cross. His disciples had fled. His body, this precious body, was in danger that the scripture wasn't going to be fulfilled. That the Romans are going to take this body and dispose of it somewhere where they took the common thieves and criminals. But God at every junction will always have someone there. Somebody that He can minister into a certain channel to offer the service that's required at that time. And that's the scripture the prophet picks up on, myrrh. And it's speaking of Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. Now listen to what it says about Joseph of Arimathea. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. He had been a secret disciple. He never really had expressed who he really is. He had never really done something for Christ the way that he should have. He had never really offered something for the Lord, but he loved the Lord. And somehow Jehovah looked down and said, okay, Joseph, I'll accept it. Your time has come. And just at this junction in the great symphony when Christ's body is hanging on the cross, he's died for the sins of the world. He needs to be buried in a rich man's tomb. Here comes Joseph of Arimathea. Something just quickens the man. The man somehow moves into a certain channel. He's been so scared before to witness that he believes in Christ. Now when all the rest of the disciples have fled, when it's just about a death penalty to follow Christ at that time, look what he does. It says he besought Pilate. He went right before Pilate. And he pleaded to say, please, this man, this criminal you've just put to death, this one that's been convicted of treason, trying to make himself a king ahead of Caesar, he goes before Pilate now. Imagine the anointing that just came on this man. And he just moved in this channel and he came and he offered the service to the Lord. He says, somebody's going to have to do it. We can't leave his body like that. We know who this man is. And he moves in that channel and he besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. Pilate said, it's fine. And he came there and he took the body of Jesus. And then the verse this prophet quotes, and there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night. You know, those kind of believers, they never want to make a commitment. Now, they'll never, ever do much for the Lord. You know, they'd rather just sit back, let other people do things, watch how other people get on. And you'll always wonder to say, are they really with us or are they against us? But every person has his time, friends. And it came to a certain junction where the body of Christ had a certain need to fulfill the scriptures at that time. And both of these men that were secret disciples, both of them at that time, something quickened their souls and they took courage. He says, no, I have to stand for him now. I have to do something for him now. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh. That's why the prophet reads the scripture. And aloes, about 100 pound weight. The next verse. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices as the manner of the Jews was to bury. Next one. Now in the place where he was buried, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new sepulcher, wherein yet no man yet was laid. That was Joseph's tomb. So imagine this man's made his tomb. He's had his tomb. He's cut it out of the rock. He's thought, this is wonderful when I die. I'm going to be laid in a new tomb. No man's ever laid in this tomb before. And the Lord was looking down while those people were working on that tomb, saying, no, Joseph, you're my servant. And I'm going to have need of that tomb at a certain time. The prophet says when Christ was born, he had to be born. He had to borrow a womb to be born. And he had to borrow a tomb in his death. And the Lord was looking down and he had prepared a certain man in a certain season. He had prepared and got everything ready. The tomb was there to fulfill the scriptures. Isaiah 53. He shall be buried with the wicked and with the rich in his death. He had to fulfill that scripture. And here came a certain man anointed in a certain channel bringing forth the myrrh. And he came and they took the body and anointed with the myrrh and put it in a rich man's tomb. And this day the scriptures were fulfilled. Amen. And then you never hear of Nicodemus again. You never hear of Joseph of Arimathea again. Friends, it's like that in life. Sometimes people just pass on to the stage of divine service. They do something for a season and they've gone. But they leave such a witness that God records it in his word. And the prophet says, if you read your church age book, he says, at the great white throne, when people are given eternal life, he says, it'll be at that time that people like Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, they will come in because they stood for Christ in the hour of need. They just entered into a certain place. It's incredible to think about it. But that's what the myrrh stood for. Now, it stood for the fact that he was going to have to be anointed in his death. It meant he was going to be laid in a tomb. It means he was going to have to lay there for a season. And there were certain people that came to offer that offering to him. And friends, you know, in the kingdom of God, there's many times you find that it seems that God's work is just about coming to nothing. Just about. Like it was if you go back to the days of Hannah. No, when this Eli was there and his eyes got dim and, you know, the candlesticks went out and the offering was despised and Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons, they were doing things that were despised before the Lord, getting people to despise the things of the Lord. And it really looked that it was a junction where God was going to have to really, really forsake his people and punish his people. And it gets sometimes to that kind of a junction that you just wonder to say, but hey, where is this going to go? But God always has a plan. God will never leave himself without a witness. God will never leave his church without having somebody to step on the scene just when he's needed. Because just when Hophni and Phinehas are about to be smitten by the Lord, what do we find coming? Hannah's leading a little boy by the hand. And comes and presents him now to Eli and says, Eli, I've committed him to the Lord. He's going to be a Nazarite to the Lord all the days of his life. Not realizing that was Samuel the prophet. He was the one that is going to usher in now the next stage of Israel's spiritual growth. Ushering in the age of the kingdom. When Saul was going to be king, and then David, and then Solomon, the golden age. But just at that time when it seemed all hope was gone, here came a little child. Samuel just stepping on the scene just at the right time. Wouldn't you want to be that kind of a person as well? That the Lord has a need at a certain junction, and it seems nobody else is stepping up to the plate. And God anoints you and quickens you, and you step up to the plate. And you do a service for the Lord at that time, which becomes something special. Something which isn't just an ordinary service, but it becomes something that's going to come up before him as frankincense. Something that's going to come up before him as a pleasing offering before the Lord. That would be a wonderful thing to do. The prophet speaks of that lady. We know the story. And she was waiting between the services, and there was another lady with a sick baby. You know, and she had such a burden, and the more she saw that baby, the way it was suffering, this lady was waiting for the evening service so that the baby could be prayed for by the prophet. And that young mother was sitting there looking at the other mother with a sick baby and feeling so burdened for that little child that was so sick. And the prophet says she had such a desire in her heart, something just moved upon and said, go and pray for that baby. And she brushed it off and says, but who am I? Well, wait, let Brother Branham pray for the baby. And something came upon her again and said, go and pray for that baby. Something was trying to minister into a certain channel. She was already halfway there. She was already feeling a burden for the baby. The burden was there, like Brother Brian was saying the other day. The burden wasn't just a desire. She had a burden. And she was trying to push off the burden. And then finally, she couldn't take it anymore. The pressure became too great. Until she stepped out of herself, stepped out of her comfort zone. And went now and said to the little mother and said, please, would you mind if I pray for your baby just to relieve my feelings? And she said, by all means. And she took a little baby up in her arms and she prayed for that baby. Gave it back to the mother, went back and sat in her seat. And in the evening when the angel of the Lord came down on the great prayer line and the pillar of fire descended, and here came the unction of discernment upon the prophet. And here came that lady through the prayer line with that same baby. The prophet said, I don't need to pray for your baby. It's already healed. Amen. He says, because that lady up there, she prayed for your baby. And the prophet says, gifts of healing, moving in the body. Amen. Friends, it's a wonderful thing. Like those wise men, they broke into a certain channel in their day. And they came and offered something before the Lord that identified him, that bore witness of him. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, they broke into something in their day as well. Because there was a time where the body needed a particular type of service. And they came, and what did they do? It says they brought their myrrh and they brought their aloes, whatever it was. It was 100-pound weight. It was a great amount which they used to anoint Jesus in his death. They took of their treasure. They took of all which that had been sitting in their homes for quite some time. But now something opened a certain channel to them that they realized now is an opportunity. I can take this which the Lord has given to me and I can use it for his body. I can use it for a divine purpose. And something led them to do it, and God greatly blessed them for that. And the prophet, when he finishes off now speaking about the myrrh, he speaks of one more scripture. He says, we realize over here in St. John 12. Now, St. John 12 is the story of Mary of Bethany, who used to sit at the feet of Jesus. And the prophet says she seemed to be dilatory many times. Now, she seemed a bit slow. She wouldn't react very quickly on certain things. But now came an opportunity when Jesus was sitting there in Simon the Pharisee's house. And it says, and she brought her ointment of spikenard. And she came, and it was extremely expensive perfume. Now, maybe she had that perfume sitting there for some time. Who knows? There's two different times Jesus, and one was a prostitute, one was Mary. But Mary came in at that time when Jesus was sitting there. This was the week when he was coming up to the crucifixion. And somehow she broke into a certain channel. And she came and she broke that box and poured it upon his head. And what does the Bible say? The whole house was filled with this fragrance. It was a sweet savor before the Lord. It was an influence and a testimony that covered the whole house. And then the people said, this is a waste. You could have sold that for 300 pence or whatever it was and given it to the poor. And Jesus said, leave the woman alone. She's done all that she could. And in doing this, she's anointed me for my burial. Somehow she broke into that same channel as well. That Joseph had broken into, that Nicodemus had broken into, that wise man who came and offered the myrrh that he had broken into, to realize we need to anoint him for his burial. Because that's part of his earthly journey, that's part of his commission, is his Jehovah in flesh, in service to die, to lay down his life, and that's what the myrrh was speaking of. And the prophet picks it up straight away there and says, that's what we find again in John 12. He says, we realize over here in John 12, we find out that this woman brought that anointed, costly something to take away the smell of death. Don't you love being moved in those kind of seasons? Aren't those the most precious times, the most precious testimonies you have inside of your life? It's more precious than silver and gold. It's more precious than a good name before the people. That just at a certain season, at a certain time, Jehovah has a need. And he just lays his hand upon you and somehow you break into a certain channel. And you take what he's already given to you and you come and you present it to him. And you meet the divine need at that time. And the Lord looks down and he smells that fragrance. And like I said once before, when Mary offered that, when she left there, Jesus smelt like that and she smelt the same as Jesus. And the whole house smelt like that. You know, it had such an influence, it had such an effect when she just followed that inspiration. She just broke into that channel and came and offered that spikenard which spoke of his death. And Jesus, he says, wherever the gospel is preached, this shall be mentioned as a memorial. It came up as a memorial once again, something that God doesn't forget, something that God put in his word. The prophet says, now look how beautiful those gifts fit into Jesus Christ. Gold, speaking of his deity. Now, they weren't heathens. They were inspired by God. If you want to know if someone's inspired by God, have a look at the service which they offer. Is it an appropriate gift? Is it something that gives a pleasing smell before the Lord? And friends, like I've said, always you'll find that there's a witness in the body of something which is godly. There's a witness in the genuine sons and daughters of God. In the praying people, there's always a witness of something which is pleasing to the Lord. Because what's pleasing to the bridegroom is pleasing to the bride as well, as long as they're walking in the Spirit. And the prophet says they were inspired of God. They weren't imagining something. This proves right here that the Magi did see the supernatural. Those offerings, that channel they broke into, what those gifts spoke of proved that these men weren't just following three natural stars that came together 2 years before. Weren't just coming thinking this was some kind of a natural king. But God had allowed them to break into a certain realm, a certain place of divine revelation in the age. They broke into a certain supernatural place. And somehow they were walking in harmony with Jehovah at that time. And when they came and offered, so simple it seemed, so simple the gift seemed, but they were appropriate gifts. They were exactly what Christ needed at that time as a witness and as a testimony. And they ministered to him in that place. The prophet says proves their testimony that they did indeed see this the supernatural. Now, friends, if they were inspired by God, you know, it takes the supernatural so that you can offer a gift and it becomes acceptable before the Lord. It takes the supernatural to open a channel to you so that you can offer something that identifies him in your day. Moses, he had the gift all the time. He was born as a deliverer. But until that certain junction in time, when he came into the presence of the burning bush, when he came into the great redemptive presence of Jehovah, and then he presented that gift before the Lord, then the Lord came and granted a special unction in that season upon that gift. Moses now was going to bring forth what he was born to bring forth. He was now going to bring forth what he was ordained to bring forth, because it wasn't him in his own power and his own ability like in the days of his youth when he killed an Egyptian and buried him in the sand. But he now came and presented himself, and God opened a channel and revealed redemption to him in his day. And the Lord revealed, but I've got a need, Moses. I've heard the cries of my people and I'm sending you. And Moses looked like all of us would look and say, but Lord, how can I go? How am I going to deliver the people? You know, Lord, when I was 40 years ago, the general in the army, it would have been a better time when I just came back from the great campaign in Ethiopia. And the Lord says, Moses, now is my time. Amen. And he says, but Lord, how am I going to do it? What did the Lord say to him? What is in your hand? Amen. What is in your hand? What did the wise men take with them? They had what they had in their hands. They went and looked, and some other inspired one said, I'm just feeling such an inspiration to take gold. The other one said, I'm just going to go and take the finest of my incense. And the other one says, I'm just feeling inspired to go into my different spices and so forth. And then he found the myrrh, and something moved him to say, this is what I need to take before the Lord. Friends, when God calls you to do something, he's already given you what you need to do it. Amen. It's already in your hand. Amen. All you got to do is go and take it back into his presence. Amen. Just take it and present it to him in his presence. And he'll use what you've already got. Mary just took the spikenard that she had. Joseph used the tomb he already had. Nicodemus brought the spices and so forth. I'm sure they were stored up wherever he was from. They just took the riches and the money and the resources that Jehovah had already given them. And they used those now in the service of Jehovah. But they broke into that channel. And now that made those things acceptable before the Lord. And every single one of us here, friends, have got some gifts and abilities and callings that if you just draw nigh unto him, he'll open a channel for you if you have the desire. If you really have the desire to say, in 2015, I want to serve him in a special way. I want to bring forth something. Maybe it will never be recognized before the people. Maybe it won't be something done in public, but I'd love to do something for him that'll come up before him as a sweet-smelling sacrifice. That'll come up as a sweet-smelling save. And you'll find the Lord will open something to you, and you'll find, you'll say, but Lord, how am I going to do this? He's going to say, what do you have in your hand? It's already, I've already given it to you. Now just put it in my presence and use it for my glory as a testimony to testify of who I am, what stage of the journey we're at in this age, what my commission is in this age. Now, gifts, the further that we yield ourselves, whatever gift you have, you find the more it testifies of him. It'll testify of him in your age in a deeper and a deeper way, the more that you surrender and yield yourself to him. Now, Brother Brian, when he was here on Sunday, he said it to me twice. He said, brother, you really, really need to take Brother George to a studio and record the music. And it's the truth. It's such a blessing. Yeah? And the more that you yield yourself, you'll find, as Brother George more and more than he sings the countdown today, you'll find something just keeps coming forth more and more, which what does what? Identifies Christ in this age. Amen. Friends, anybody can take all of us can take somebody else's song and sing it, which is good anyhow. There's nothing wrong with that. But as you yield yourself more and more, what a precious thing if you could bring something forth from your treasure and come and present that before the Lord. Not everybody has that gift, I do understand. But it's a blessed gift for people to have. And I'd say there's a lot of people that have that gift in here, in this place, that if it just come before the Lord and say, I just want to bring forth of my treasure in this year. I want to bring forth something, Lord, that brings forth a pleasing sacrifice and an offering to you. And the Lord will say, what is in your hand? What have I already put in your life? What resources have I already ministered to you? Just take those things and just yield yourself and draw closer unto me this year. And I'll use that as a greater testimony of who I am in this age. I'll use that as a greater testimony of what my commission and my purpose is in this day. I'm sure every minister would desire that. To say, Lord, if I could just lay in your presence more. Because you've given us 1,200 messages here. But Lord, if you could help us to bring forth something which is richer and deeper and something which is more real from the resources that you've already ministered to us. But Lord, if we can just be in your presence to bring forth something which is beyond what you brought forth before. Amen. And those wise men, friends, they didn't bring those gifts to testify of themselves. Amen. They never used those gifts to testify of themselves and how great they were and how great their ministries were. Every one of those gifts testified of Christ. That testified to the glory of Christ. And that's what genuine gifts are used for. If you bring a genuine gift into His presence, it's never going to be used to glorify yourself. It's going to be used to glorify Him in your age. It's going to be used to testify who He is in your day. It's going to be used to testify of what junction in time we're living at. And friends, I really have a burning desire in me, like the song says, to walk with Him in a more perfect harmony. So that what He's called me for and what He's called you for, it may express itself in a more real and a deeper way. But friends, there's a price to it. Because this journey of the Magi, it wasn't an easy journey. They didn't just wake up one day and go and look in the storehouse and say, we've got gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Let's get in the air-conditioned Cadillac and take a drive down the road to church. They didn't do that. Friends, they had to come from the other side of the desert, down there, the Tigris, Euphrates Valley. From Babylon, somewhere down there, get on camels. Go through treacherous terrain, treacherous territory, bandits and thieves, diseases, sunshine, you know, sandstorms and all that kind of a thing. But the proof that they'd seen the supernatural was their perseverance. Amen. Their perseverance was a proof that indeed something supernatural had happened to them. Because if nothing supernatural had been opened to them, if they hadn't been ministered into some sort of a supernatural channel, they soon would have given up. At the first hardship, at the first river, which was overflowing its banks, they would have given up. At the first people who came and told them, don't go down this road, there's thieves down there. They operate on this road. But the channel they were walking in, it was declaring itself to them. It was so real to them. I said, we don't worry about these kind of things. We're looking at the unseen. They were walking in harmony with Him. And friends, that's what it's going to be like with you and I as well. Because when they got to the place, imagine, I once heard somebody preach when I was in Pentecost. I never forgot the title. He called it Following a Star and Finding a Stable. Friends, you're going to find disappointments. Because sometimes you're going to have a great expectation. They follow the star. They go through all these hardships and these dangers. And they think, surely we're going to find Him in Jerusalem. This is the holy city. This is the religious city. This is where the great high priest is. This is where Solomon was and David and so forth. And they come into the city and it's a den of thieves. And it's run by gangster Herod. And he calls them in. And all of a sudden when they get themselves, they get out of cater with the guide that had been supplied to them. They got themselves off course from the North Star and they find themselves in a place where they're disoriented now. And when they're there now, it's not the way that they thought they was going to be. And here's Herod sitting with his sly grin, telling them, you go and find the child. And when you find him, you come and tell me, and I'll come and worship him also. And all of a sudden, they were starting to lose a certain spiritual something that they had before. And they realized, we've got off course here somewhere. We need to get back on course. You know, the channel that he opened to us, it just doesn't seem that this is the place that we're supposed to be. Because he is not as real. The vision's getting dim where we are. And finally it says, when they came out of there and they looked up again. It says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with great joy. Our friends, don't you love it? When you come out of your time of disorientation, when you come out of that place where the vision was getting dim and your disappointment in Jerusalem, and you come out and you see, but hey, the star's still there. And he opens the entrance once again and he says, it's all right. You just got yourself a little bit off course. You just stay on course with the North Star now. And it hangs over Bethlehem. And it leads them right to where he was. And they just had to follow it down there. But when they get down there, maybe it wasn't what they expected at first. Maybe they were expecting him to be full grown, a king. Maybe they're expecting something else, but they found a babe. But because the supernatural was so real to them, because the channel they were walking in was declaring itself to them, spiritually speaking, doesn't matter what the devil tried to do. Doesn't matter what the devil tried to say. They were walking in a certain spiritual place in harmony with Jehovah in their day. They'd broken into a certain channel. God had ministered them down into this place. And friends, that's the place that we need to stay. Because in that kind of place, it doesn't matter what your brothers and sisters say about you. It doesn't matter if people appreciate you or not. You're doing a service unto the King. It doesn't matter that sometimes in Jerusalem, it seems that everything's just going upside down. It doesn't matter to you. If you're a singer, no one says amen. It doesn't matter to you. Amen. You come in to minister unto the Lord. Amen. If you're a minister and certain people never say amen to your preaching, it doesn't matter to you because you're not doing it for people. You wanted to bring a gift and present it to the Lord. You want to say, Lord, you just get the glory from this. Although it does help a lot when people say amen. It always does. But you won't be governed by the things that you see because you've come to present an offering before the king. And you wanted to walk and minister in the same channel that those wise men walked in their day, so that you can have the same climax, the same adoption, that you are found at exactly the right place at the right time, offering exactly the right gift, which testifies of him, fulfilling the purpose unto which you were born. That should be a real wonderful thing. Just coming to close, listen to what the prophet says. He speaks about serving your purpose. In the same message, paragraph 77, he says, when you realize, what are we doing here? Where did we come from? What business have we got being here? We weren't put here just by chance. We were put here for a purpose. And we must serve that purpose. Yeah. Friends, let that be the motto for this year. We are put here for a purpose and we must serve that purpose. And this is a very individual thing, friends. This isn't a group thing. Although as a group we have a purpose. But our group purpose is fulfilled when each individual is walking in their commission and fulfilling their purpose. Because each of them couldn't do the other man's job. The one with the gold couldn't offer the frankincense or the myrrh. It took all of them together, uniting themselves in the supernatural, in their uniting themselves under that light which had shone forth in their age. And then when they came together, they fulfilled the purpose. But each of them had to fulfill the individual purpose as well. And the prophet says we need to serve that purpose, but we're still back on the basis of free moral agency exactly as Adam was. We don't have to do it, friends. It's got to be a free will offering. It's got to be a meal offering, something that you bring out of your treasure voluntarily. Something that you say, I want to serve him. I want to live closer to him. I want to live a greater testimony in this year. It's got to be something from your free will. And God will bless you for it. And God will open a deeper channel. And God will open a door for you to do something. Because the kingdom always has its needs. And God will lay a burden upon you to fulfill the need. The need of his body in that day. Then he speaks about their divine protection. He says, now God guided the Magi with them gifts for practically 2 years. He guided them because they had the right gifts. God guided them because they had the right gifts to identify his son. So when you're walking in that channel, friends, when you're walking with him, you've got divine protection. He's going to watch over you. And when you go and you find and you offer your service and you're thinking, let's go back and tell Herod, he's going to come in a dream like he did to them. And he's going to warn them in a dream and say, don't go to Herod, go back home another way. You see how he protected them because of the preciousness of the gift, of the offering which they were offering. They had divine communion with him because they were walking in a certain channel. And they had divine protection because they had appropriate gifts. They had gifts that were appropriate for that day. And God has deposited in you a call and a commission. He's deposited in you something which can shine forth to identify him in this age as well. And you just start walking a little bit closer to him, a little bit deeper in that channel, and see the deeper communion he'll give to you. And see how he'll protect you and guide you and lead you. And even if you get off course like them, he's going to guide you on course once again. Because you call to fulfill a certain purpose, to serve a purpose in this life. Now, the final thing was the need for dedication. That to dedicate what they had to the Lord. That to consecrate it to his service. They could have just kept it for themselves. There would have been nothing wrong. There were many magi, like I said, who had gold and frankincense and myrrh. And they kept it for themselves. And they used it for their own purpose. But these magi took what they had and fully consecrated them to the service of Jehovah. Fully consecrated them. What did they take? Their learning. They took their learning. Because they were students, they knew the stars, they knew the heavens like we know the Bible, the prophet says. They knew every one of those heavenly bodies. They had the writings of Daniel because he was the chief of the magi, chief of the wise men in his day. And he had left them the prophecies of the Messiah. So they studied the scriptures, they studied the heavenly bodies. There's nothing wrong with studying, friends. As long as you're dedicated to Him. As long as you take your learning and your studying and say, Lord, I'm coming and I'm bringing it for your glory. Then He took their studies, He took all of their learning and He used it for His glory. Because now there came a certain stranger one day when they were sitting around that sacred fire where they used to worship the one true God. And they looked up that day and there was something new in the heavens. And straight away they knew something's taken place. And they knew that's in the constellation of whatever that it was. There's a conjunction of certain planets and stars. And they knew God declares something in the heavens first before He does it on the earth. And friends, they took that learning and they used it for the glory of Jehovah. And God quickened their learning, and that learning, God ministered them through that into the realm of revelation, which brought them to Christ in their day. There's nothing wrong with learning, friends. As long as you take whatever you're studying and you put it in the hands of the Lord and say, Lord, use this for your glory. Don't use it for my glory. Don't use it so I might seem to be somebody who's a real wise man. Wise men follow Christ. That's a true saying. Wise men still seek Him, friends. We should still be seeking Him even in our learning. And they took the gifts which they had been given. The gold and the frankincense and the myrrh. No, they'd never ever used those things in this way before. But now a channel had been opened to them. A spiritual dimension had been opened unto them. And they took those natural things which they already had. And they took them and started moving down a certain spiritual place. And they started, like I said, to walk in harmony with Him. They walked with God in their day. And it led them at exactly the right time to the right place. And friends, and those things come together just as much as when those stars came together, it signified God was doing something. When you come to the right place at the right time and you've got the right consecration upon your life, something's going to take place. Something's going to take place which has never taken place before inside of your experience. Now, though you might have had the gifts, you might have had the talents, the abilities, you may have had the resources before, but God's going to allow those resources, God's going to use them in a certain way which you've never experienced before. And they came and they dedicated themselves and they traveled that long distance and brought those things before the Lord and presented them to Him through great difficulty. And think of it as we close. Those gifts only identified Him when they were dedicated to Him. Amen. When they were fully consecrated to Him. Amen. When they brought them in His presence and laid them at His feet. That's when those gifts identified Him. Amen. If they had just kept them at home, they never would have identified Christ. But that day they came when they fully dedicated their gifts to Christ from their treasures. They fully identified Christ in His day. And the prophet, speaking of dedication, paragraph 81, he says, Mary, the mother of Jesus, in the city of Nazareth, the meanest city there was in the land, the darkest of places, nothing good would ever come forth from Nazareth. But there was somebody who was dedicated. He says, but out of there God chose a little lady to give birth to His Son. He needed a womb. A womb that a baby had to be born by. And He took such a person to do it. Imagine Mary, think of it. She was willing to bear the reproach of the message in her day. When the angel came and told her, you are blessed. The Lord wants to bring forth His Son through you. Emmanuel. She says, how shall it be? I don't know a man. Says, the power of the Holy Ghost shall overshadow and you will conceive and bring forth. And then all of a sudden the thoughts must have gone through her mind saying, but yay, what's Joseph going to say? What are people going to say when I'm found with child but I've never been with my husband? But friends, she was moving in a certain channel. That didn't matter to her. She just shrugged that off and said, be it unto me according to your word. She didn't worry about what people said. And the prophet says she had to bear the reproach of Christ in her age. And every single one of us, we need to bear the reproach of Christ. The message is being reproached at this time, friends. But there's a certain people that God has ordained at this time that they're moving in a certain spiritual place. They're going to bear the reproach. They're going to bear the reproach and bring forth Christ in the age and bring forth the testimony and show this message isn't a cult. This message, this prophet isn't a false prophet. We're going to bring forth vindicated scripture, prophecy in this age. Just as much as Mary did, because she was willing to bear His reproach. Because she had dedicated herself completely, said, Lord, I'm yours. Do unto me according to your will. The prophet says, if you are a young woman, dedicate your morals. Like I said the other day, especially pretty girls, they've got to really dedicate themselves because it's so easy for them to use that or for the devil to use that. Being beautiful or being pretty. Or if a boy is a handsome guy and he's got the muscles, it's so easy to allow the devil to anoint you and to use that. But if a person can take those kind of things like Mary did, the prophet says, you young woman, dedicate your morals unto the Lord. Dedicate your morals. He says, if you are a young man, dedicate your morals. Dedicate your mind. Don't just fill your mind with all manner of other things. Fill your mind with something which is of Christ. Amen. In your studies, you have a purpose in your studies. Amen. I remember the time, all those years back, when people were criticizing the message and saying, William Branham, he was in the occult because he taught the pyramid and the zodiac. And that really challenged me. And I said, never. Let's defend this one. And I said, I'm going to really dedicate myself when we got into the pyramid. And that's how we got into the pyramid. We found the perfect gospel in the pyramid. We found the whole plan of redemption in the pyramid. We found the whole plan of redemption in the stars, in the heavens, in the zodiac. And that's when I learned it for myself. You can dedicate your talents for His glory. You can take your learning, you can use your mind and put it into His presence and say, Lord, I want to defend your truth here. Because all manner of evil is being said here. And you can dedicate your mind in whatever way that God calls you for. He says, dedicate, you young men, dedicate your thinking. Dedicate your heart and your soul. Dedicate all you are to Christ. And let Christ work through that. Let Him work through that. Whatever He's given you, if you're good at art, let God work through that. If you're good at music, let God work through that. If you're good at studying and research, put it into the hands of the Lord. Let Christ work through that. Let it be something that you present before Him, that you can offer with frankincense, that it can come up before Him as something that's pleasing, that He can anoint and He can quicken and that He can use for His body in your day. That's what He's wanting you to do. Then He finishes off and He says, the need for dedication, He says, you've got rivers you're going to have to cross, like them. You've got bridges you're going to have to go over. You've got briar patches you're going to have to go through, and thickets, and woods, and dark places. You've got high hills and high climbs, like those men did. But friends, when you're walking in that kind of a spiritual dimension, those things don't matter to you. As long as you can just continue to see, but the star is still guiding us. And I can sense in my soul, I'm still walking in harmony with Him. And I'm going to see this journey through to the end, because I'm determined to take this gift and offer it in His presence. That's what they did. The prophet says, what are you doing? Someday you'll have to stand and look back to see where you came from. And you're going to be judged by the course that you take. Put all your mind and all your thoughts on that North Star. The center of God, he says. And don't move from it. Stay right with it. And it'll bring you straight like it did the Magi. Right straight to Christ in your age. Well, friends, don't you want to do that? Is that not the most blessed privilege and honor that a person could be given? An opportunity to take what you are and what you have and dedicate it so you can testify and identify Christ in your age. Whatever it may seem so small to you, a little basket of lunch with 2 fish and 5 loaves. And you might think it's so insignificant, and you might look at the great need there, and Jesus is saying to His disciples, you go and feed them. And the disciples saying, Lord, we don't have any food. Send them to the city. He says, you feed them. And maybe the disciples went around and says, does anybody have any food? And everybody says, no, it's evening time. We finished all of our food. We've just got empty baskets. And that young boy, maybe that day he just didn't feel like eating for some reason. There just came a burden on him. And in that evening time, he looked and he said, look at the great need. Look at the small instrumentality. But anyhow, I'll give what I've got. And he took what he had in his hand and he went and he gave it to Christ. Because Christ had a need. Amen. And Christ took that and multiplied it and fed the 5,000. And they gathered up basket loads after that. Friends, it's not the size of what it is. Amen. It's whose hands you put it into. Amen. It's your motive, it's your objective, it's your desire to do something for Him. He'll take it and He'll bless it. Like I've said many times, a mobile phone, an iPad can be something used for the devil or used for the Lord. A mobile phone, if it's dedicated to the Lord, it can do a tremendous amount of good in the kingdom of God. Your email can do a lot of benefit to the kingdom of God if it's dedicated and consecrated to Him. But it's so much easier to use it for other things that are gratifying to the flesh, that are gratifying to your own desire to serve yourself with it. But you're a genuine believer, you'll never be satisfied walking in that realm. You'll want to come and bring it and dedicate all that you are and all that you have before the Lord and say, Lord, take this and use this for your glory. That's when the prophet preached the message, what is in your hand? And friends, they came to the end of their journey and they presented their gifts before him and they left that place and imagine the satisfaction that they had. We never hear of them again. They fulfilled their purpose. They did what they were ordained to do. There was a certain role, a certain junction in the great symphony that only they could play. No one else could play that part. And God had prepared them through the years, had fashioned them and molded them, had put them in a certain place, had allowed them to learn certain things and to hear certain things and had conditioned them. And then the Lord says, now is the time. And just at that season, God laid his hand upon them, sent them a certain inspiration at that time. And they yielded themselves to that anointing. And they followed it through right to the end. And it brought them to the place that they identified Christ perfectly in their day. Testifying with their lives that indeed they'd heard from God. Testifying that indeed they'd received an inspiration from the Most High. And once they laid those gifts down and they worshipped Him, they went off the scene. But that's not the end of them, friends. What does it say? Only one life, and soon it's past. Only what's done for Christ will last. They'll meet their reward. They're already meeting their reward, and we'll meet them one day because they were our brethren. Maybe they were of the Gentiles, and they came to witness of Him in their day. Don't you want to do that in this day as well, friends? I'm so glad that God came and visited us and took us out of Babylon. I'm so glad that God brought us with our gifts and our abilities and our talents and our resources, and He's brought us into Bethlehem, the house of God's bread. And friends, this is the right place to use the resources He's ministered to you for His glory. And as we move into the new year, may He be glorified. Let's stand. Let's sing a little bit, saints, before we close. You know, sometimes we despise our own gifts, but we saw our little sister come and sing there. So powerful. It was so powerful to see. In the mouth of babes, the Bible says. Imagine. And Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid me not, for of such is the kingdom of God. May the Lord really bless our young people as well.
Let's sing the song, This Is My Desire.
Yeah. Yes. Amen.
This is my desire to honor you,
Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you,
is in you, Lord.
Give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way.
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you.
Oh, is in you, Lord.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me.
He knows, oh,
he knows my name.
He knows
my every thought. Each tear that falls and cheers me when I go.
Oh, I have a maker.
Oh, yes, Lord. I have a maker. He formed my heart before even time began. My life was His hand.
He knows.
He knows my name.
He knows.
He knows my every thought.
He sees.
He sees each tear that falls and tears me when I go. I have a Father. He calls me His own. He'll never leave me, no matter where I go.
He knows.
He knows my name. My every thought.
He sees.
He sees each tear that falls and cheers me when I go.
Oh, I have an anchor.
I have an anchor. He's in my life. He plays by faith, you'll see me through.
Oh, he knows.
He knows my name.
He knows.
He knows my every thought.
He sees.
He sees each tear that falls and cheers me when I go.
He knows.
My name.
He knows.
He knows my every thought.
He sees.
He sees each tear that falls and cheers me when I go.
He knows.
He knows.
name.
He knows
my every thought.
Oh,
he sees each tear that falls and hears me when I go.
Oh, I'm glad he hears me when I go.
And hears me when I go.
Now the prophet says about Christmas, he says we've got it all wrong. He says we're giving gifts to our children. There's nothing wrong with that. The prophet used to do it. But he says the real gift at Christmas is to give yourself. He says Christmas should be an adult thing. He says because God gave you the greatest gift. Now if you go and listen to the message, God's wrapped gift, it's such a wonderful message. Because God sent the gift of eternal life, the Logos himself, wrapped up in swaddling clothes. And the people were so stumbled by the swaddling clothes that there were certain people that were deigned for it, and they could see, like the shepherds and so forth, beyond the swaddling clothes. And they could see what was the real gift, and they accepted the gift. And that transformed them. And friends, in our age, the gift has come back. The Logos has come back once again, not in Christ form, but has come back in bride form now. That the gift came back once again. The pillar of fire came back once again. And once again, it's in swaddling clothes. Now people say all these kind of things, but friends, that gift is very near. It's in the genuine believer. Now, he's within speaking distance of what you need. What is the hidden element for that gift to express itself the way that he wants to express himself? Now is our time for consecration. I must see it changing me. Let's sing that song before we commit ourselves before the Lord. Now is my time of consecration. I must see a change in me. Don't you want to be a meal offering? Don't you want to be a burnt offering as we enter this new year? Not sure of the title. You know the title, Bridger? There's a deep and inward hunger. I'm tired of trampling this mountain. An inward hunger within my soul. God has promised in his word, you'll make us whole. Well, it's time for it to happen, that huge portion of heaven. It will make and bring to pass the tremendous victory in the love divine. For I'm tired of trampling on this mountain. Oh, I'm heading down to the Jordan. Lord, before me I see a vision breaking. I see it breaking. How that will bind the number up the temple ministry. The power. Now is my time for consecration. I must enter. I will enter my secret closet and close the door behind me. I will keep the feast of unleavened bread with truth and sincerity. For I'm expecting Jehovah Jireh, my Lord, to meet with me. For I'm tired of trampling on this mountain. Oh, I'm heading down to the Jordan. Lord, before me I see a vision breaking.
I see it breaking. The power that will bind, that number up, the temple ministry. Oh, keep thy holy fire burning deep in my soul. Change me from glory unto glory, till thy image you behold. Let's keep this holy convocation till we become a new creation. For it's the message in you and me will bring to pass that tremendous victory. For I'm tired of trampling on this mountain. I'm heading down to the Jordan.
I'm heading
low before me. I see a vision breaking. I see it breaking. The power that will bind, that number up, the temple ministry. Oh, a power, power that will bind, that number up, the temple ministry.
Would it not be a blessed thing to live in a place like Paul and Silas, that even when you're in difficult situations, and you've got bleeding stripes on your back, and you've got stocks on your feet, and you don't understand what you've done wrong, that you can continue to worship the Lord at midnight. And it comes up before the Lord as frankincense, as a sweet-smelling savor, and the Lord shakes the jail and converts the jailer and his family. And you come to the end of it and say, my, how wonderful that he is. No matter the circumstances, when you commit it into his hands, he'll bring something forth for his glory. Friends, don't look at the circumstances. Let's sing that song, I bless your name. I bless your name. It's the best thing to do in any circumstance. Just bless his name.
Business chains with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas. Let's pray that night, and in their pain began to sing. Their chains were loosed, and they were free.
I bless your name.
I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor, I give you praise. You are the light,
you are the light,
the truth, the way,
the truth, the way.
Bless your name, I bless your name. Some midnight hour, if you should find you in a place in your mind, reach out and pray. Defy those chains, they will fall in Jesus' name. I bless your name, I bless your name. I give you honor, I give you praise.
You are
the truth, the way,
the truth, the way.
I bless your name, I bless your name. So if you find that
in your life
you're in a midst of times so hard, reach out my friend to heights unknown.
is your name. I give you honor, I give you praise. You are alive,
you are
the truth, the way. Your name, I bless your name. I bless your name.
I bless your name.
I bless your name.
Oh, hallelujah.
I give you
glory.
I give you praise. The truth, the way.
The truth, the way.
Bless your name. I bless your name. It's not wonderful to worship him, friends. Just before Christmas time to the world. You know the real Christmas is when Christ was born in you. Like it says, let your word be born in the manger of my heart. Wonderful stuff. Let's sing one more song here, saints, as we worship the Lord. Let's sing that song. Because you have chosen the harder way. But those magi that chose a difficult way, friends, but it was worth it. Because God opened the way to them and they were faithful to the way that he called them. Let that be our testimony as well.
You have chosen a narrow path. The hardest way, there's a great portion of heaven is waiting for you because of what you decided. That was the prophecy. The angel told to the great messenger, that is what will produce great victory in the love divine. In the footsteps of that I hear, I want to get to the end of time. The divine love will live in me. I will walk this path. I will walk this path. In the footsteps of Elohim, I want to get to the end of time. That divine love will live in me.
This path
has many trials and many battles against the enemy, yeah. But his Holy Spirit will lead us to perfect love. There is not much time remaining to walk in this path. We can already hear the chariots of our beloved ones coming to meet us.
Oh, I will walk this path.
I will walk this. In the footsteps of Elohim, I
again to the end of time. That divine love will live in me.
Oh, I will walk this path,
and I will walk this path. Oh, in the footsteps of Elohim, I want to get to the end of time. My love will live in me.
Oh,
that divine love will live in me.
Let's bow our heads, saints. Why not spend a short time? Let's speak to the Lord. But people sometimes ask and say, but why do you pray at the end? And I want us to say, go and listen to the prophet. Whenever the angel of the Lord would draw near, the presence of God would draw near, and the prayer lines, he'd always say, he's here. Speak to him now in the way that you want, in the way that you used to. And you'll find that people will all pray to speak to him that's near. Let's all speak to him in whatever way that you used to, whatever way you're accustomed to. But I would always like at the end of a service to have an opportunity to speak personally to him. So let's all speak to him before we dismiss. And may the Lord bless. Father, we're looking unto thee, Lord, at this time, to bring ourselves before thee, Lord, upon this day, because you're good. I just want to worship thee, Lord Jesus. Since we just have one more thing to do this evening, we just wanted to take up an offering for Sister Lily for the expenses and so forth. And the deacons thought it was good to do it at the end. So let's sing a song of worship. We just asked to take up an offering just to help the sister in this hour, whatever the Lord would lay upon your heart. So let's continue to worship, then we'll close in a word of prayer.
Windows of heaven are open, the blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart. Since Jesus is everything right, I gave him my old tattered garments. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven are open, the blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart. Since Jesus makes everything right, I gave him my old tattered garments. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna.
You can pray for the offering and close the service, please.
And that's why I'm happy tonight. Oh, the windows of heaven are open, the blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart. Since Jesus made everything right, I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight.
Let's bow our heads. We just wanted to say to everybody, happy Christmas for tomorrow. May the Lord give you a safe journey home. We just ask Brother Will to bless this offering, to pray for our sister, and just to pray to dismiss the service in Jesus' name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we are thankful, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Most thankful tonight for your word,
Lord,
that has come and has explained these things unto us, Lord.
Lord.
Father, even as we would go from this place, Lord, We go knowing tonight, Lord, of the greatest gift that you have given unto us,
yes,
Father.
Lord, it's true, Lord.
How thankful we are, Lord, O God, that even though it happened so many thousands of years ago, yet tonight it is still alive amongst us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
For we see the witness of your word amongst us.
Amen.
We see how you work in our lives, Lord. How you have quickened us from the dead and has given us eternal life.
Yes, Lord.
What a gift, Lord, thou hast given unto us. And we thank you tonight, Lord, that it is still open to those that are seeking for it, Lord.
Amen.
And I pray tonight, if there be any, Lord, that are standing still without the gates,
Amen.
Lord, that are seeking for eternal life, Lord, I pray for them that, Lord, even
Amen.
As we enter into Christmas, may they receive this gift, O God.
Amen.
Praying, Father, to thank you for the word that has been ministered so faithfully.
Amen.
Bless our brother and his family. We
Please,
commit
Lord.
Them to you, Lord.
Amen.
That, Father, even this word that has been preached, let it not come back without achieving what it has gone out to achieve, O God.
Yes,
may it achieve that which you have sent it for in our hearts,
Amen.
Even as we yield ourselves, Lord. Father,
Amen.
Looking at that great gift, Lord, you gave us many gifts as well amongst us,
yes,
Lord.
Lord.
And we see you working, Lord, O God, to raise up and stir up those gifts among us.
Yes, Lord.
I pray, Father, tonight, Lord, for each and every brother, every sister,
Amen.
That, Lord, you would give us that other gift, Lord, of yielding ourselves unto
yes,
you.
Lord.
That, Father, whatever you have put inside of us, Lord,
Amen.
May be used for your kingdom.
Yes,
we
Lord.
Pray, Father,
yes,
that you would
yes,
stir
Lord.
Us up even as we go into this new year, Lord.
Amen.
Let
yes,
there
Lord.
Be a burden so great upon
Amen.
Every heart,
yes,
Lord, to serve you and to do
Amen.
Something, Lord, for you, O God.
Amen.
Even to be just a doormat in the house of the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, may it be upon our hearts to serve
Amen.
You, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
For indeed, Lord, there is not
yes,
much
Lord.
Time to serve you.
Amen.
Just a few
yes.
more days to labor, Lord.
Amen.
But we
yes.
want to do it not in vain, Lord,
Amen.
But that, Father, we may please you, O God.
Yes, Lord.
So we pray, Father, for every person
Amen.
That's gifted in any way, O God,
yes, Lord.
That you would stir us up in our hearts, Father,
Amen.
To do that which is right.
Amen.
We thank you, Father, even for this offering that your children
yes,
have brought.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
May you bless it, Lord, that it may help to cover the expenses, Lord,
yes, Lord.
Of this misfortune that has befallen our sister's family.
Amen.
We
yes,
commit
Lord.
It to you, Father, that,
Amen.
Lord, like the five fishes, Lord, that the
Amen.
Boy brought, Lord, to you,
yes, Lord.
We bring these few euros into your hands.
Yes, Lord.
May you multiply them to cover every need that they
Amen.
May face, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, for we are still believing that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes, Lord.
What you did then, you can do so now
Amen.
Again, Father. Bless us, Father, as we go home.
Please, Lord.
Help us, Lord, to raise the standard for our children.
Please, Lord.
As we go into Christmas tomorrow, Lord, to
Amen.
Wake up each and every one of us
Amen.
And explain to the children what this is all about, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
To
Hallelujah.
Teach them the right thing, oh God.
Amen.
Father, that they might grow up knowing the right way, Lord.
And yes, Lord.
Father, we just commit it all into your hands. Bless the saints as
Amen.
They journey home. Father,
yes,
there are many that are sick amongst us.
Yes, Lord.
Even Sister Shida at home, not feeling well.
Yes,
we
Lord.
Commit them to you, Father,
Please,
that you
Lord.
Touch them, Lord.
Please, Lord.
Father, and drive away all sicknesses.
Yes, Lord.
We commit everything to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. May the Lord be with you. Let's... As we dismiss, let's sing one song and may God be with you. Oh, somebody wants prayer. Come, sister.
Lord, I receive.
Lord, I receive.
Lord, I receive open
a possible.
Lord, I receive. Lord, I receive. Lord, I receive. All things are possible. Lord, I receive.
Jesus is here.
Jesus is here. Jesus is here. All things are possible. Jesus is here.
He's here, he's here, he's here.
Jesus is here. Jesus is here. All things are possible. Now that is
only believe.
Oh, only believe.
Only believe.
Only believe. All
things are possible.
Only believe.
Only believe.
Only believe. Only believe. Things are possible. Only
believe.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe.
As we dismiss, if all the children could gather in the cry room for a piece of cake to celebrate Brother Maxwell's birthday. I'm not too sure how we define children in this place. Some children are bigger than others, but all the children in the back room, and God bless you.
Where thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will know. Thy people shall be my people, thy God, my God. Where thou diest, I will die. There will I be buried. Oh, do so to me. Redeemer, he's the Lord of the harvest.